Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be back in Merced. It's been a long time. I think it was back in 2007 or 2008 that I was leading a team of student cohorters, and we were staying at school facilities right here. And we knocked on many doors. So a lot of folks here in Merced. It's a great, great time. Great opportunity. Let's get into our message this morning. The reason why I'm pausing so much is because I'm just thinking about what sermon to preach. I have a few rotating through my mind. I think I've decided. Okay. Not that I'm ill-prepared, it's just sometimes, you know, you have multiple sermons and you gauge it as you go along, what you think is best. So let's have one more word of prayer. I'd like to personally pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here to speak with me, through me, and then we'll get together and go through the Word. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for the gift of your Son. In that one gift, all heaven was poured out. And Father, what an eternal gift that was given to us. It expresses the value of the individual soul. Father, that you would give your Son in exchange for one lost sheep. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be with us. May that gift that you gave be not in vain. And Father, we pray that you would help us to spread the knowledge of that gift. Amen. Okay, quick question for you. How many here, by raise of hands, know what is inside of the holy place of the Hebrew sanctuary? There's three articles. Do you know what those are? Raise your hand if you know what they are. Okay? In the sanctuary, in the time when Moses was leading the Israelites through the desert, just by way of reminder, God gave instructions to Moses to build a sanctuary, and the sanctuary had three compartments. There was an outer court, there was then the holy place, and then there was the most holy place. In the holy place, there were three articles. Anybody want to just tell us what they are? Candlesticks, table of showbread,
and the altar of incense.
And altar of incense, correct. Now those three, each of the articles of furniture in the sanctuary were highly symbolic, and they talk about, basically they illustrate the things that we need to have in our lives to progress spiritually. As you entered the sanctuary, the first article that you would run into would be the altar of sacrifice, where the lamb was slain. And that lamb symbolizes who? Jesus. And so you have a symbol of the cross. So the first thing that you meet in your Christian walk is God and his love for you as it's displayed at the cross. After that article, as you're proceeding forward into the sanctuary, you bump into another, a different article, which is called the laver. It was made out of brass. It was filled with water, where the priests would wash their hands and their feet. And this water symbolized baptism or renewal by the Word of God. The Word of God is compared to water. And not only that, but resurrection. So once you encounter Christ and you see him dying for you at the altar of a sacrifice,
then you proceed forward to the laver, and now you give your life for him. He gave his life for you, and in response, what do? You give your life for him. So you have the two articles illustrated there. Then you go from the outer court, because those two articles are in the outer court, you step into the holy place. Now you're a person who's experienced new birth because you've experienced Christ on the cross. You've given your life for him. Now what do you do? In the holy place, you have three articles, and those three things are where all of us in here should be rotating around and participating in, because I'm assuming that most people in the congregation here are believers in Christ. Amen? And all of us here have, at least at one point in our lives, given our hearts to Christ and maybe even entered the waters of baptism, probably the majority of us here. So now, as Christians, as believers, those who are progressing in the faith, we're in the holy place, and we have these three articles, and they symbolize three things which are there to help us to grow spiritually. So, table of showbread, altar of incense, and candlesticks. What do those symbolize? Table of showbread, Word of God, and Jesus. Multiple symbolic applications. But for our intents and purposes today, we're going to say the Word of God. Jesus said to Satan in the wilderness, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So at the table of showbread, you have a symbol of the very first thing that nourishes our Christian walk, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. In order to progress in our Christian walk, we need to read the Word of God. And it blesses us. It fills us. Okay, second thing, altar of incense. And what is that a symbol of? Prayer, right. Psalms, David alludes to that in Psalms. He talks about our prayers ascending to God and the altar of incense and how it's associated with that. You also find that in Revelation chapter 5. The angels are holding the golden bowls full of incense, and it's ascending with the prayers of the saints. So we have the Word of God, which is the Bible. We have prayer. So here you have God talking to you, and here you now have you talking to God, right? You have the vertical relationship established, but what's the last article that's in the holy place? It's the candlesticks. And what do the candlesticks symbolize? What's that? The Holy Spirit. Yes, okay. It's kind of hard to say sometimes because they have multiple symbolic applications. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, correct? Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Water is even a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the candlesticks, Jesus makes an application in Matthew chapter 5 where he says that you are the blank of the world, the light of the world, and that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men light a candle or stick it under a bushel. So here you have Jesus referring actually directly to candlesticks, and he says to not cover them up. And his application for that is that the candlesticks are who? You are the what of the world? The light of the world. And what's the implication there? The candlestick. So here we have the Word of God, table of showbread. We've got prayer at the altar for incense. And then we've got us as a church, as a group of believers, being the what of the world? The light of the world. Merced is dark. And what are we? We're the light. Question is, are we under a bushel or not? Well, I hope we're not. So what we're going to talk about today is the third aspect. You know, it's real easy, well, let me say, comparatively speaking, relatively speaking, it's easier to get together on Sabbath in a nice air-conditioned building like this within 6 walls and do that. I mean, you know, we hear the Word of God, which is it's a table of showbread. We pray. We just got done praying. And those things are not bad. But if it ends there and we miss the candlesticks, we're only riding on 2 wheels. We're not riding on the third, right? So what we want to talk about today is how to ride on that third wheel, how to get involved in the candlesticks aspect of it. Yes, and that's what GLOW is all about, giving light to our world. Has anybody ever passed out a GLOW tract before? Okay, they're little Bible pamphlets that say GLOW on them. That's what I do. I make those. And I talk to people about how to distribute them and pass them out. And we're having stories all over the place of people who are distributing these little pieces of literature. And it's incredible what God is doing. You know, you can never tell what God will do through humble efforts. Imagine what what God can do through you if he can use just a little stone to knock down Goliath, right? That's all he used, a simple method. And it took down the leader of the Philistines, the intimidator of Israel. He can use us in small and faithful ways to do big things. He shows that over and over again in the Bible. So what we're going to talk about this morning is some various ways of distributing literature, and I hope that it's highly practical. It's not going to be a regular sermon. It's going to be more of a, you could even say, I wouldn't say it's a seminar, but I wouldn't say it's a sermon either. Maybe we could call it a sermonar, something like that, a blend. And if you have a piece of paper and some notes, it would be good to jot down some notes. We're going to go over 12 different ideas for how to distribute literature right here in Merced. And quick note, every Friday we send out an email from the conference office where we send out an email that has a new testimony of people who've been passing out literature, exciting stories. And if you're interested in getting that weekly email for free, just go ahead and visit that website, glownews.org, and you can input your email address, and we'll send it to you every Friday. Okay? Good way to keep connected, keep excited about distributing literature. And second bit of news is gycchallenge.com. Every time that you pass out a piece of literature or a book or something like that, go to this website, gyccchallenge.com, and input your distribution numbers. A bunch of young adults and adults across America are going to this website, and every time they distribute literature, they're marking it up there. We're already above 30,000 pieces of literature as of December, and so you'll help swell the crowd and be part of a larger movement than something just here locally. So every time you distribute literature, just go there and mark it down. Okay? Now, I want to show you some cool statistics. This little program called GLOW, it started right here in Fresno back in 2007, and you can see that it's grown dramatically. We're actually, this is an old chart right here. As of this month, we're above 45 million tracts printed, and that's a good amount. So we're a little bit above 5 million tracts printed every year, and these are being printed on a global basis, not just here in the United States, and they're translated in a lot of different languages. And why are we printing so many little Bible pamphlets? It's because people are passing them out, and our inventory runs out, so we have to print more. So a lot of people are passing out this literature. It's exciting to see. Here's just a few of the different languages that they've been translated into. This one is it's a picture of a tract in Afrikaans. Anybody been to South Africa before? They speak Afrikaans down there. This is another one in Czech Republic, Dutch. Anybody ever been to the Netherlands before and heard them speaking Dutch? It's a very coarse language. German's a little bit nicer. My wife is from Germany, though. I'm biased. This is French. Picture of a French tract, Chinese, Indonesian, German, that means intelligent faith. By the way, the name Einstein, it simply means a stone. Stein is stone in German, just so you know. Good little tip. Italian, Japanese, Malaysian or Malay, Mongolian. Anybody here have some Mongolian friends? If you do, we have tracks for you. Romanian, Spanish, of course. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Visayan, Tagalog, and Vietnamese. And I didn't put up there Hmong, did I? No, I don't think I did. We have some other languages. These are just some of the covers that I actually had on my computer just to put up there for you. So if you ever need literature to pass out to people when you're going to the Bay Area or if you're on an international trip, just contact us at the conference office, and we have a lot of different languages for you so that you can distribute those. Now let's get to our 12 methods about how to distribute literature, okay? 12 methods. Method number one, and I'm going to let you guess at this. This is the most efficient method at getting out large numbers of GLOW or literature in daily life. The most efficient method. What do you think? Aside from flying over San Francisco with an airplane and dumping it out of the airplane with pallets of, you know. I mean, aside from that, what's the most effective way of getting out literature as far as numbers, in terms of numbers? Quickly.
Door to door.
Door to door? Well, actually, this is faster than that. Believe it or not. Not with like a potato launcher. You can't shoot them out like that either.
When you go to the store,
okay. What do you mean? Oh, okay, so give it to the cashier. Well, you'd have to see a lot of cashiers really quick. Doors would be faster. Any other ideas? What would be the fastest and most efficient method of getting literature out? If you wanted to get out a lot of tracts in a very short amount of time right here in Merced, and you wanted to impact a lot of people, what would be the fastest way to do it? Email? Okay. A literature rack? Okay. Fairgrounds? Boy, you guys are getting some good ideas. Large gatherings where people are. Okay. What's something that you do in everyday life, though, that would help? I'll just tell it to you. You're probably like, come on. You've dragged this on long enough. Here we go. Car doors. Yep. Next time you're walking down the street, there's two kinds of car doors, ones that pop out and ones where you have to reach in. You can take that tract, you can bend it a little bit, like a spring. Here, I'll illustrate it for you. This is actually an Italian tract, okay? And you just bend it like this, not until it's creased, but just so it wants to pop back out. And as you walk by, you just pop it right in. Nobody sees you. Nobody gets upset at you. And it's really great. Now, what door do you want to put it on? The driver's side. Very good. Because if you put it on the passenger side, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a passenger. So it'll just fly off and land on the ground, right? This is one of the fastest ways of getting out literature that we know of, and it works really well. In fact, in Texas, one of our top glowers in the United States, his name is Buster White. He distributed literature in this method on cars. And they have somebody in their church now because of that. And they joined the church. This is just one simple way of sharing the message. Car doors. All right, method number two. This is a method that increases your odds of getting tracts into the hands of influential people. What do you think? How can you get tracts into influential people's hands? Over here?
Junk mail.
Junk mail? Okay. All right. Normally, it's like the accounting guys, people on the bottom rung, though, that might receive those, huh? Giving it to passengers in first-class flights. What do you think about that? Boy, would that be scary or what? Imagine walking down the fuselage and giving literature to people. Whew, sends chills down my spine. But you know what? There are people that do this, and it's a great way of getting literature into people's hands. They're going to be riding in the plane for several hours anyway, so they'll have time to read. We have a man who was distributing glow tracts in this method. In fact, we had invited him over to California from another state, and he was flying over to California, and as he was boarding onto his plane, he waited until everybody had loaded on first, and then he went on at the very end so that everybody was seated, and he could give them literature. And as he was distributing literature to people, he was still in the first class section, and he noticed a guy who was had his head down with a hat on and trying to kind of block his face, and the guy didn't want to be noticed. But the brother who was passing out the tracts, he reached out his hand, and he shook the guy's hand, and he had a glow tract in his hand, so he palmed the tract to him. He snuck it in that way. He palmed it to him. And when the guy lifted up his face to say thank you, it was the face of Joe Montana. He got the glow tract into Joe Montana's hands because he was passing out tracts in first class. Anybody know who Joe Montana is? It's that guy who beat Tiger Woods, right? Shaq? Or anyway. Okay. Method number... Now, compare this method to the one I just talked about putting them on car doors. Which one would you prefer to do? Okay, all right. You know, a lot of times when I take people to do outreach on Sabbath afternoons, we talk about going door to door, and people are like, oh, their knees are smiting each other with fear, and butterflies are fluttering out of their ears. I just simply tell them, well, hey guys, what we're going to do for outreach is we're going to go with megaphones and stand on the corner of the busy street, and we're going to preach. And everybody just like, you know, the blood drains from their face and they're just scared. And then I say, no, I'm just joking. Actually, we're only going to go knock on doors. And they're all relieved. It's just a matter of how you view it. You know, it's a matter of perspective. And we could be doing a lot harder things. The prophets had a lot harder things to do than we do. Knocking on one door at a time where you're talking to one person at a time, that's a simple thing. Anyway, moving on. Method number three. The most likely method that the person will take the tract and not reject you. Now, this would be one I would want to know if I were you. What is the most likely method when you give a piece of literature out to make it so that somebody will not reject you? What do you think? Tape it to them? I suppose that could be a little interesting. Any other guesses? Going once? Huh? Friendship? Yeah, we don't want to make friends with people too much. It takes too much time. No, I'm just joking. Of course. That is a very good one. True. Okay. Most likely method that they'll take the tract and not reject you. Placing the tract in a restaurant tip. Next time you go to your restaurants and you pay your tip, make sure to stick a tract with it. They'll never say no. Amen. Because they want the tip. Method number three is done. Moving on to method number four. This is the method with the highest likelihood that the person will sign up for Bible studies. the highest likelihood that the person will sign up for Bible studies. No guesses? Maybe after preaching with a megaphone? Address them by name? That helps. That helps. This is actually exceedingly simple. Just giving it directly to somebody. Whenever you give a tract directly to somebody, it helps a lot, rather than just leaving it somewhere. Now, I actually have a video to show you, and hopefully everything will work out well here with the audio. So I'm going to escape out of this, and we're going to go over to the videos. This is a video which illustrates the point of giving a tract directly to somebody, okay? And if the audio doesn't work for whatever reason, I'll just keep going back and start over again until we get it to go.
Experience that occurred about 2 years ago. Our church had planned to go and distribute glow tracts after the service, and we decided to go to a mall.
There were people there handing out tracts, and there was one man in particular that I walked, you know, he sort of walked up to me, and I walked up to him.
I gave the glow tract to her, and she was like speechless for 2 seconds, and then I could see on her face that it seemed to me like she was touched.
And it was actually on the Sabbath.
Really? Wow.
And right when I saw that, I was like, we are going to talk. I mean, like, we're going to engage in a conversation right now.
She was praying to God to give her a sign about the truth that she wants to learn from God.
Uh-huh. So he actually handed me a kind of a staff.
And she learned about the Sabbath.
I took them with me, and I just read them all.
I was feeling that at least God touched one person's heart, or maybe more, and then this person actually really touched my heart.
I started looking around because I'm like, I need to find a church that will, you know, that will be keeping the Sabbath.
Now, Jeanette, she keeps the glow track in her own store. She runs a business.
Yeah, I share it with my customers. Just listening through the conversation, what might be a good one for them. I always have at least 12 different ones on hand.
She has become a glow leader in the church.
Well, I'm the first glow rep at Sunnyside, at my church. First one there. And my husband and I actually mounted a track rack, if you will.
She ordered the racks to be installed in the church.
And I keep it stocked. I switch them out. I have different tracks all the time in there.
The man's name who gave you the glow track at River Park, what was his name?
Anil.
This lady's name was Jeanette.
And I thanked him, you know, thank you so much for handing me that. You know, just being obedient to the Holy Spirit.
It was a great experience, and you can have the same experience too.
Of course, I'm handing them out too.
So if you didn't catch that, this lady named Jeanette received a tract from the Indian guy, Anil. Anil is a member of the Clovis Church, and now Jeanette is a member of the Sunnyside Church in Fresno. Jeanette lives in Madera. She owns a hair salon where she works. And the background to that story is that Jeanette had found a tract in a magazine two different times in various places. One was in her store. Somebody had placed it there. And then the other one, I think, was in another store. She bumped into both of these pieces of literature and read both of them, and both of them were on the topic of the Sabbath. And she was wondering if this was God speaking to her, and she asked God to give her another sign if this was him actually speaking to her, that she would get another piece of literature on the exact same topic. Just a little while later, on a Sabbath afternoon, she was walking in Fresno in this mall, and she bumped into Anil. And Anil was going out with his church team to distribute literature, and he happened to give her a tract on the very same topic of the Sabbath. And as soon as they met, she got the tract. She recognized what it was. She broke down in tears. They had a long ensuing discussion. She ended up calling immediately for Bible studies. I still remember our secretary working with Jeanette over the phone. And she went through the Bible studies very quickly and was baptized. And now she's the actual GLOW leader for her local church, the Sunnyside Church. And she, of her own money, stocks the literature rack there. It motivates people now to pass out the same. Amen? It's just because somebody gave out a piece of literature. Method number four. All right, method number five. This is a method I put in here just because I want to emphasize it. It's not anything special. Gas station pumps. Gas stations are incredible places to leave literature. Where that receipt prints out, you can stick a GLOW tract. Where the pump handle goes back in, you can leave a GLOW tract. You can put it on top of the pump. One thing I like to do is put it on the pumps of the empty pumps at the gas stations. I'll go up to anyone that's empty while I'm waiting for my car to fill up, and I'll just put a piece of literature on there. And sometimes, if I'm feeling especially bold, I'll give them to the people who are pumping gas. And here's how I do it. Do you want to know how to do it in a way where you won't get automatically rejected? Here's how you do it. You go up to them and you say, excuse me, is it okay with you if I just leave this piece of literature here for the next person after you? I'll just leave it on the pump. And what are they going to say? Sure, of course. So you leave it on the pump. And then what inevitably ends up happening? They get interested in it as well. And so you give them one too. But at this point, they're the ones asking for the piece of literature. Make sense? Okay, so you go up and you don't give it directly to them. You say, excuse me, can I leave this for the person who comes after you? Can I just put this on the pump? And then, yeah, they're fine with that. It works. Gas station pumps. Method number six. This is the most convenient method for you as the distributor. Very convenient. Just leaving a tract in a random place in public. You don't even have to stop walking. Just drop it somewhere. Put it on a table, and it works. In fact, it was right here in Merced that Ashley, help me out here, former Bible worker, Ashley Stevens, yes, she went to a prayer breakfast here in town, and a bunch of folks and clergy from all kinds of different churches showed up, and she brought literature, GLOW tracts with her to give to people. And when she came in, she was late to the meeting, and the meeting had already started, and she was going to put the literature on the registration table, but she thought, well, it's not going to be worth anything anyway because everybody's already gone through registration, so why leave the literature here? But she felt like she probably should anyway, so she just left the tracts there. At the end of the program, somebody stood up and said, excuse me, folks, many of you didn't sign up at the registration table. As you're exiting, make sure that you go there. And sure enough, lots of people came to the registration table and the tracts were picked up. One of those tracts ended up in the hands of the Merced County Jail Chaplain, Lance. And Lance has called us at least two or three times at the conference office requesting more literature, Steps to Christ, and so on and so forth. I think when Billy Gager was here, that he was the one talking with Lance. And they've ordered well over 2,000 pieces of literature. In fact, we've gotten stories from Lance about how people, his own prisoners, will approach him, showing him different pieces of literature that he never even ordered, different GLOW tracts. A Spanish prisoner came and gave him a Spanish tract, and he didn't even order that, so he doesn't know how these tracts are getting in there. But praise the Lord, all of that happened. We've sent them over 2,000 pieces of literature for his 900 men in jail, all because Ashley put one, you know, a tract or two on a table. Very simple thing to do. Powerful results. Method number seven. This is the most likely method that someone will actually read the tract. Actually read the tract. It's one thing to get somebody to pick up the tract and stick it in their pocket, but it's another thing to get them to actually read it. And the answer is put the tract in an airplane magazine. If you ever are flying in an airplane, put it in one of the magazines. The Sky Mall magazine? You know what's in that, right? Ramps, They sell all kinds of things like ramps for your dog to get up on the bed, or toasters that second as CD players, or various things, which are interesting. But when people are on a flight for a very long time, multiple hours, 7 hours, 10 hours, the people who put the magazines in there know that they have a captive audience and that the people are going to get eventually to the point where they're going to read that magazine. And so if they're at the point where they're ready to read that magazine, folks, they will read our tracks. Amen. So stick a tract in the magazine, and it works. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Montel Williams? Yeah? Montel Williams has a right-hand man, and this right-hand man called the Upper Columbia Conference of Seventh-day Adventists one time, and he contacted the GLOW director for that conference. Her name's Jordana Ashburn. Actually, currently, it's a different guy, Robert Carini, but before him, it was at Jordana. And the right-hand man of Montel called in and talked to Jordana and said, hey, I want to order 1,000 of these GLOW tracks. And she said, sure, I can do that. And he said, and she asked him about the story, and he told her the story. Apparently, Montel's right-hand man had been in a hotel, and either it was in the Gideon Bible or placed somewhere in the hotel randomly was one of our GLOW tracks on the topic of health. And so he picked that up, and he looked at it, and, you know, it kind of stuck in his mind a little bit, but he didn't pay much attention to it. But the next day, he was in an airplane flight, and when he looked in the magazines in right in front of him in the airplane, guess what he found in there? Not just a GLOW tract, he found the exact same title, the exact same health tract. Well, not the exact same, you know, but it was another health tract. And so now it caught his attention, and he actually read it while he was in the airplane. And he was impressed with the content. And he called up the Upper Columbia Conference, the contact information on the back of the tract, and he said, you know, Montel is just now getting into health, and I'm sure that he'll like this. This is one of the best write-ups I've read on health in a long time, and I'd like to order 1,000 of these, and you can expect us to order more. Amen? Just because somebody put it in a hotel room, somebody put it in an airplane. Method number 8. This is a method where you can get people to come to you and ask for the tract. Wouldn't that be nice? You're walking around in Merced, doing your thing, minding your business, and people come up to you, can I have literature? Oh, that would be good. So what is this? A GLOW t-shirt. Did you know that at the conference office, we actually have shirts which help you to get out literature? The shirt says, ask me for a free Bible pamphlet on the front and on the back. And all you do is just wander around doing your errands in town, and when people read your shirt, they ask you for a free Bible pamphlet. And it works. I have one. It's green. And when I go shopping at Winco grocery store, the people, they ask me for one. This one lady one time, she came up, she said, hey, do you have a Bible pamphlet? And I said, I sure do. So I gave her a few, and she said, man, I wish, I was actually just trying to catch you without one. Another time, one of my friends, Joel, we have two different kinds. That's one, it says, ask me for a free Bible pamphlet, but there's another shirt that is more daring. It says, I will give you $5 if you ask me for a Bible pamphlet and I don't have one. And it says that on the front and the back. And it really, really works. People come up and they want to get your money. And they ask you for the tract. One time I was at a restaurant with one of my friends down in L.A. We were there for some meetings at the Pacific Union office, and his name is Joel, and we were sitting outside eating our meal, and this elderly Caucasian man walks up, and he looks at Joel's shirt, and he starts reading it out loud. I will give you $5 in front of his friends who are there with him. And he was really putting Rick and Joel through the coals. He was putting them to the test. And thankfully, Joel had some GLOW tracks, so he was able to whip them out and give them to all the guys. They were a little bit disappointed, but they took the literature anyway. Wearing shirts really works. There was a youth group, actually, just to, you know, kind of illustrate the point a little bit further, a youth group which went into the store and got a bunch of white shirts, and they wrote on the white shirts, take the tract to unfreeze me. So they went into Walmart as a group, walking around with their white shirts, and then all of a sudden, on cue, they would all freeze. And imagine walking through a store and all of a sudden you see this group of people wearing white shirts and they're all frozen in different positions. Eventually, people would start reading what their shirts say. Take my tract to unfreeze me. And they would all be holding a tract where they were frozen. And so the people would come up and take the glow tract and then they would just go on about their business. Pretty neat idea, huh? You see how you can get creative with this? It's a little bit more less intimidating than speaking with a megaphone on the street corner, right? Maybe just a little bit. Okay, method number 9. Here's a creative method. I'm going to show you the video for this one. This is called the public reading method, okay? So here we go. I'm going to show you a video.
Well, we've been handing out the glows, and at times it's kind of hard to do. I was praying and asking God, how do I do this? And I actually was standing in line to get some medicine at a Walgreens, and the impression I got was to take the glow and actually read it like this. So I just started reading it. I was standing in line, and the lady in front of me turned around, and she started reading the backside of it. And as she was reading the backside, I was reading this side, and she said, "Well, that's pretty neat. What is that?" So I explained to her what it was and about natural disasters and such, and she said, "Well, can I have it?" And I said, "Well, let me finish reading it first." So I folded it up and I gave it to her, and I was just shocked. I've been trying so hard to get the glows out, but had a difficult time doing it, and here, just to open it up and read it in public, and people will ask for it.
Pretty creative. So this guy, he just holds it out and he reads it. So if you ever want to pass out a tract and you want a simple way of doing it, go to Walgreens or any other store for that matter and hold your tract out or hold your book out like this and pray that God will bring somebody to notice it and it might work. That was a creative method. Here's another creative method. You can put literature in the restrooms when you're out in public. And you know what? It actually works. I'm going to show you another video of this lady. She has a testimony about that. Here we go, Tammy and the Sabbath Tract. This lady was at GYC, Generation of Youth of Christ, a youth convention.
Hi, my name is Tammy. I was at Orlando GYC this year, 2013, and I went from the main hall into the restroom. And while I was in the restroom, the lady that was the custodian, she said hello, or I said hello to her, and she said, "I just learned something today. I learned today that Saturday is the Lord's Day, not Sunday." And she reached out of her pocket and pulled up this glow tract on the Sabbath. And a previous experience I had had with glow had sort of disappointed me. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be bold enough to share anymore, but this experience really, God was just sharing with me and telling me we need to be sharing glow with others because it does work, and it worked here at GYC, and it's been such a blessing. What a wonderful experience for me to have learned that God does use these little pamphlets to reach people for Him.
Putting tracks in the bathroom. Hey, the custodian might pick it up, and they'll learn something too. Pretty awesome, huh? We had a lady call in one time and leave us a voicemail, and it was one of the funniest voicemails that we've ever had. She found a tract in the Walmart bathroom, and she called in, and she was chuckling, kind of happy. She said, "Hey, you know, I found these Bible pamphlets in the bathroom at Walmart, and I just think this is great. I think this is a great way of spreading the news, And I just wanted to look at, you know, I don't want the Bible studies, but I want to look into ordering some more of these, you know, so that I can pass them out too wherever I go." And so that was cool. But then she called back a second time and gave us another voicemail. She said, "You know what? I was thinking about it. I changed my mind. I do want to sign up for the Bible studies. I want to get 3 of them, or actually 2, because my 2 grandkids, you know, their parents aren't taking them to church, and I want to get the Bible studies for them." Hey, praise the Lord. 2 Bible studies and a person who wants more literature because they found it in the bathroom. All right, we have 12 methods, so there's only two more. Moving on. Method number 11, another creative method, a Daniel 2 statue. What do I mean by that? That's kind of interesting, a Daniel 2 statue. You guys are going through the book of Daniel, aren't you? So you know what that the image looks like that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about, right? The head is made out of? Uh-huh. Chest and arms of? So that was a little bit weaker. Silver, right? And then the belly and thighs of? You sure it's not brass? I'm just joking. Okay, and then the legs are of? And then the toes and the feet are of? Iron and clay. Okay, good. And then what comes down and destroys it? A rock, right? And then that rock grows into? Oh, man. Did you guys finish that chapter? Yeah, it grows into a mountain, and that represents the kingdom of God. You know, if you take a step back and look at that prophecy, this is just a tangent, you actually have a picture of an idol, and it's being stoned. Does that make sense? Idolatry is being punished by stoning to death. That's Old Testament justice for you. Okay, Daniel 2 statue. What do I mean by that? There's a guy in the Bay Area. He actually goes out at random times, and he sits down in a public place. I was just talking to him a couple weeks ago when I was preaching in Mountain View Japanese Church. And he sits down, and he has this 2-foot-high image or replica of the Daniel 2 statue. And he just sits there, and he sits the statue in front of him. And when people come by, they wonder, what's this little statue all about? And all he does is he just pulls out his glow tract on Daniel chapter 2, and he gives it to him. And he doesn't even say a word. And people come up and they ask him about it. Wouldn't that be kind of fun? You know that there's a lot of, like, Walmarts, they have this red square zone where if you call and get permission, you can sit by the exit in a red square that's marked off on the ground for a certain amount of time, and you can offer people things. You could just sit there with your chair, have your little Daniel 2 statue, or yet, better yet, the four beasts of Daniel 7. That'd be kind of cool. And then you can just give out the literature to people when they come and they ask about it. Okay, method number 12, final method. This is a creative method as well. 4th of July, it's coming up. Utilization of holidays. What are good holidays to get literature out? Christmas, when you send away Christmas cards, right? You know, we have a track that's called The Gift of Joy, and it's about Christmas and Jesus' birth. The easiest time to give away literature is on Christmas, those holidays. You just go up to people and say, Merry Christmas. Give it to them. They never question. They love it. It's great. You're giving them a gift, and then they read about it and learn more about Jesus. Another great opportunity for, as far as holidays are concerned, is Halloween. And I think I've told you this before, over and over again. I just tell people throughout our conference, Halloween, everybody's going door to door anyway, so you just join them, and you can collect candy if you want, but take literature with you and give that out to people. And it's an awesome method of getting out literature. But 4th of July, we just developed a tract which actually goes along with freedom. It's called When Freedom Dies, and it talks about religious liberty. And we're encouraging people to take 4th of July as an opportunity to distribute literature to crowds that are gathered for watching fireworks or just your personal friends. It's a great tract to give out to people. But I want to show one last video as we're closing here, and this one's of Alexis. Alexis, we'll just watch the video. It's a really good one. This is about on the topic of utilizing holidays for tract distribution.
Hello, my name is Alexis. I'm from Mentone, California. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about how I came to the church. It was Halloween of 2012, and I was trick-or-treating with my little brother. And once we got home, I went through his candy, to make sure it was all safe, and I found a Twilight glow tract. On the back of the Twilight of this glow tract, it said specifically on how to get free Bible studies. And I went online and put in a submission for these free Bible studies, and a Full Circle Bible worker came to my house and offered to give me Bible studies.
Just a couple days after that event, I received a phone call on my answer machine at work, and it was a young girl by the name of Alexis. She received a glow tract that Halloween night by her brother. Her brother picked up a glow tract as someone was handing it to him. They went home and she started going through the candy, and she found this glow tract called Twilight. Right away, I connected her to a Bible worker in the nearby area by the name of Andy.
This girl was hungry to know more about the Bible. I remember that through the Bible studies, through prayer, through the questions that I would ask, she was so interested, and you can see that her interest was very genuine as well.
So I agreed to have Bible studies with Andy, and the first Bible study we had was about, I think it was on like who Jesus was, but because I was only doing studies on my own, I could answer all of his questions. But the third study, I remember very clearly, he went over the millennium, state of the dead, and hellfire all in one study. It took a few hours. From there, he kind of really just started picking it up with things like the Sabbath and just present truth, just doctrine. And he kind of realized that's what I needed to hear.
It's so beautiful to know that our little pieces of literature have not only affected Alexis's life, but can affect thousands of people's lives. But it can only do that if we do what we did that night, and that is pass these little tracts out by faith. And as a result, Alexis is now doing the same, passing out literature and changing people's lives as well.
There's other Alexises out there who are searching, and they just need that jump start. And GLOW is a perfect way to go and do that and to go and spread the precious, precious truth that we have. Even pass out GLOW in your neighborhood, pass it out to your coworker, leave it on a car that you park next to your, what we do personally, give it to your waiter when you fill out the check, give it to whoever you see, a homeless person, anyone, because these tracts are precious. These tracts do reach people, I know.
So Alexis's brother gets candy, brings it home. The sister searches through it to make sure it's okay, finds a GLOW tract, reads it, calls a number for Bible studies. Andy follows up, gives her Bible studies. She ends up going colporting or door-to-door selling of Christian books for 10 weeks during the summer. At the end of the summer, she gets baptized, and then she ends up going to a Bible college called Souls West in Arizona, where she's currently at, and she's been doing a lot of door-to-door and literature outreach since then. Amen? Because of one GLOW tract. So, you know, this wasn't even a person going out to distribute them, going door to door. This was the little brother coming up to a door of somebody who had the tract, and then they just simply gave it out. So there's so many ways to give out literature. And holidays are one of them. And it works. So that's the message for this morning. And as we exit, we're going to have small pieces of literature, GLOW tracts, some pocket signs, as well as books at the table on the left. And I want to encourage everybody to pick up literature sufficient for this week. There's not that many small Bible pamphlets, so I'm going to recommend that you just take a small amount of those. But grab a few books and take these ideas that we talked about today and take some time to pray to God in your devotional time. Ask God to direct you to the right people to give these pieces of literature to. Or if not giving it directly, ask God to guide you to the right place to leave a book or to leave a piece of literature. And we're going to be the light of the world this week, in just small and simple ways. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much. As we prayed earlier, we thank you so much for your son. And because you gave your son, Lord, that means that salvation and freedom from sin are possible. We have a second chance to be able to live for eternity, to obtain immortality. We have that chance. And Father, there's so many people around us which are squandering that opportunity, and they don't even know it. Father, we pray that you would help us to help them. Lord, we've found that your grace is amazing. We've tasted and seen that you are good. And Father, it's the least that we can do to share small pieces of that with other people. I pray, Lord, that as we go about our activities this upcoming week, that you would help us to be the light of the world, not just partaking of of the Word of God and talking to you in prayer, but also, Lord, giving to others. And we pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct our steps to the right people at the right time. May these books and these small pieces of literature make an impact, not only in the lives of the people that we give it to, but in ours as well. Thank you for hearing us, and we ask for these things in your name. Amen.